Hello and welcome to the 18th Read Comics podcast. Happens to be the
18th by some counts.
But Mike, it's not actually the 18th for Mike. It's, I don't know what, how many, maybe.
I think it's the 25th.
He's counting in fractions.
Maybe Conrad can tell us how many Mike's been in.
Conrad, prove
please.
To us that you're listening.
I want
to
keep my own tally, so as our official readcomics.org groupie.
The only one who listens.
Official as of now, I guess.
No, Steve from Chicago listens.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Steve.
That's right. All of our listeners out there.
Shout out to Steve.
My brother listens. So, there's lots of us. This podcast is our third book club. And
if you could hear that, that was...
Guest speaker is Aloysius. Who also read the book.
Or chewed on it some.
And he's...
So I have a brief story about the book.
Do we want to say what the book is first?
Yeah, we should maybe do an intro for people.
Well, they clicked on the link, they know what the book is.
It's Phantom Jack, the collected edition by Michael San Giacomo.
Giacomo. I call it Phantom Jackoff.
Nice. Let's proceed.
Anyway, my story is that I ordered this book on Amazon, and the guy that I ordered it from, or the reseller, because it didn't come straight from Amazon, it came from a reseller, basically, emailed me, or no, I emailed him and said, oh, okay, so it is kind of my fault.
I was going to say, you're leaving a part out.
I had old addresses in Amazon, and somehow they changed something about it, then it defaulted to one of these old addresses,
yeah,
which was really annoying.
Do I get an I told you so shout out?
Yeah, okay, so Florence told me that I should delete those old addresses, and I was like, well, they never come up because they're old. Like, it always defaults to the last one.
It was like his scrapbook.
Except, yeah, exactly. I had all my old addresses in there, like every single one. And I was kind of upset when all of a sudden one of them defaulted to this really old address. So I, emailed the guy who I bought it from and said, hey, I think this went to an old address. I'm really sorry. I'm willing to pay for shipping again. Can you just send it to me when it gets returned to you? The guy's like, oh, no, we never have anything returned to us because we don't pay for return shipping. And I was like, really? But it went through USPS. Yes. It went through United States Postal Service. So I called United States Postal Service, and he assured me, this guy on the phone is like, we definitely return everything that has a return address on it. So I emailed the guy again. I'm like, did you go through something else? He's like, oh, no, I know exactly where it is. It goes to Atlanta, and I'm in Kansas City. I'm like, I don't know who's lying. I just don't know where the book is, but it clearly, is never going to make it to me. That's
sad.
It. That's all. I don't have the book.
But you read Mike's copy.
I read Mike's copy.
Right,
and
then
how do you feel about the fact that the book is never going to come to you?
I'm probably okay with that.
it's a little bit of a background.
Better than I expected from your negative review.
Let's start with a little bit of a background. It was published in 2004. Started at Image Comics. I'm going as according to Wikipedia.
I saw an allusion to this in the prologue. Introduction that it had a very diverse publishing history.
Started at Image Comics for the first five issues and then moved to Speakeasy Comics up to bigger and better things, apparently.
like Powers, except not really, because Powers is at Marvel now.
And I know I've heard this writer before, but I can't find anything else on
Powers
him.
Powers is at Image. Oh.
So... Michael San Giacomo doesn't have a Wikipedia page himself.
Is he in comicbookdb.com?
Do you have that abbreviated?
I do on
comicbookdb.com.
I don't know if I do or not. It tries CBDB. It definitely is on this computer.
Okay.
For those who wonder what the hell Mike's talking about, Firefox has a really cool feature where you can add keyword searches. If you don't know what that means, Google it, because it's awesome.
And I don't think Marty set it up on my computer very much.
What if they don't
know
what Google means?
I can just go to the...
Then they obviously are not going to be capable of setting up the keyword search, because they probably don't know how to right-click either.
And they're probably not listening to it because... They're probably not listening to this because they haven't figured out podcasting.
It's probably true.
Like Harlan Ellison. I was listening to the Around Comics podcast, and they're talking about Harlan Ellison and that he doesn't know how to open an MP3.
He doesn't know how to double-click? Or he doesn't have a computer where MP3s open automatically in some program when you double-click them? Because I'm skeptical.
This was some interview, something somewhere that they referenced.
He apparently also wrote Tales of the Starlight Drive-In, which came out in 2008.
Ooh, this year.
This year, but it has no information on it at all.
Has Phantom Jack been published recently? Like, how many issues are in that collection?
I don't know, a bunch.
But at the end, it says that it's coming back soon.
Yeah.
Bah, bah, bah.
Right,
well,
but like, it's weird because there are several editions of that particular collection.
Well, Comic Book DB only lists the first five issues from 2004 under Image. Doesn't mention the Speakeasy comics.
What about Speakeasy's website?
Well, there's a website, phantomjack.com.
Oh, well, look at that. Ooh, look at that.
Anyway, what do we think of this?
Oh, so I should admit that I did not read it. My excuse is that after Jason and Mike and Marty read it, I only had a day and a half left, and I started and then fell asleep. So, sorry.
She's the odd man out.
Yes.
I did not like it at all. I feel bad because it's my choice and I kind of inflicted it on everybody. But I chose it because I saw it at the comic book shop. Actually, I saw it at the College of Comic Book Knowledge.
They are very nice.
It's a very nice place. They had a good trade paperback sale, and this was being sold for $5.
Thanks for telling your friends about that sale.
Well, I think it's still going. I just told you now. I told you I got that for $5. You could
have
asked,
but you didn't tell me it was like at a sale.
Well, you know, if you go there, you'd know. you should visit our sponsors. They're our sponsor, right? We mentioned it, so they have to.
they did one time give me a free comic.
Yeah. Oh.
You didn't tell me that. Anyway.
Well, if you read our blog, you would know.
Anyway, it turned out that the trade paperback was crap. So, there you go. Thanks for listening.
That's Mike's, full review. It was crap.
So this month, rather than recommending a book, we're just giving you one more to put on your list of things to not buy.
This is very much a very updated website. They have Phantom Jack number 1, 5-page preview. So it's obviously not been updated since before issue 1 came out.
Well,
the art in it was very good. I liked the art,
you know,
for the most part, a lot.
Jason, that's something to say about that.
I was not as thrilled with the art myself, in that I always felt that people looked very awkward in it.
I can understand.
Like,
really, I actually kind of disagree. I thought they did a really good job with faces.
Any pose?
Yeah,
anything?
Poses were a little bit weird.
It always kind of looked like they were caught, like a picture was taken of them, but it was taken like mid movement, which you would think would kind of make it seem like it was more active, more action, whatever. But to me, it just felt that it was more awkward.
Let's give a synopsis first, so people know what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, Phantom Jack.
Phantom Jack is a reporter who, through a weird accident, gains the power of invisibility. He then uses that power to further his journalist career and gets numerous awards and frequently goes to Iraq and does stories.
Yeah. Yeah, he clearly is also a good writer. I mean, if you take the comics word for it, you know, he's like,
I didn't see any evidence.
Well, when you start reading all the, like, newspaper, because there are kind of a lot of newspaper articles sprinkled throughout. Yeah, you're kind of
some...
like, okay, fine, whatever.
There's definitely some witty writing in there, but...
Yeah, so anyway, he just won, like, a big, you know, was it the Pulitzer?
No,
he hadn't won the Pulitzer.
They established that he hadn't won the Pulitzer.
But he'd won a bunch of other awards.
Yes.
He's
like the star reporter for the newspaper.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, and this isn't necessarily the writer's fault, but whoever did the layouts for the first issue clearly doesn't know how word balloons work. Because
you know what, that bugged me a lot in the beginning of the comic, and toward the end it was a lot better.
Well, that's because it only did it on the first issue. Whenever they had two people talking the same panel at the same time, the word balloon layout gave no indication which order they were talking.
Yeah.
So
well, you just kind of had to like go back and forth between the
right, but you had to stop and think about it before you could read.
You know, the thing is that that's not just a problem with this comic. There are lots of comics
really?
This day.
Well, no,
where,
I agree with that.
Well,
but that doesn't make it okay.
And I would actually
this
say,
was,
no, it doesn't. But
this was
even,
under the Image time. And Image should have had better.
I would say even Avengers,
or whatever it is in place.
Even Bendis with the Avengers. Sometimes I like, I read those word balloons out of order. Because
the only time I have a problem with like Marvel or DC comics is when it goes over a 2-page spread and you can't tell if it's continues on the second
page.
Bendis
is huge with that problem as well. But
I've never seen a word balloon problem like that.
There have been word balloon problems.
And I don't think you can blame the layout of the word balloons on the writer.
Yeah. I blame a lot of things on Bendis.
Yeah, well, he's an easy scapegoat. And some of them are definitely valid. But not that the readers or listeners can see this. I've found, like, one
Mike's,
panel
like, holding up an example.
Well,
it's really blatant of it.
It's generally always you start with the top left, but then the balloons, you know, you have 3-4 balloons from top to bottom
right
in a line, and then the other person on the other side of the page has 3 or 4.
And
you
have
to
go
out
from
you
one
go
to the other.
And top balloon, second balloon, third balloon, third balloon.
Right.
So you have to go back and forth across the page.
Right. But as you're scanning an image, you might not even see
like,
those other balloons on the right.
Like,
I mean, that's
example,
the problem.
For example, the previous panel doesn't follow that pattern. That's pretty linear in the way
yep,
you're reading
yep.
it.
Oh, yeah, good point. So they've got two different dimensions
right.
on the same page.
And here on this one, it's going to go there...
you have to keep
visual.
Going back and forth across the panel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It made for very disjointed reading in the first issue.
Anyway, it was dumb.
The story itself wasn't... See, I don't think it was that bad, but it just wasn't compelling to me at all.
The treatment of women were pretty bad. And the first... In fact, I think there wasn't even a single female that showed up in a speaking point until, like, the third issue, when the slutty James Bond woman showed up.
Yeah. You know, I agree that it did seem like there weren't any, but it didn't feel wrong to me, that aspect of it.
Oh, and I kind of noticed it. Partially because they kept making what I call, like, the big homophobic comment whenever they mention about somebody being gay, and then they... follow
it's
it
like
up with a, oh, there's nothing wrong with that, which they do several times in here, which is basically my way of reading, or my take on it is that they do have something, a problem with gays, but they don't want anyone to think it, so they throw in a little jab against gays and then follow it up with a, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Mm.
Well, you know, it's like I've always said, it's a good thing that gays are funny. Because otherwise comedy would be in real trouble in this country.
Right. But they have a few of those little gay comments early on, coupled with the fact that there's no women in the comic early on, it was pretty blatant to me.
Yeah.
And it kind of was like, okay, where's this writer coming from? What's he alluding to here? And then this... this really slutty woman shows up and...
Well, speaking of bad treatment of people, I'm really kind of glad that the series appears to have ended before they brought the friend back.
Well, and that's what I was wondering about. I mean, I kind of thought that was the most interesting part. Like, I'm waiting for that to happen.
The resurrection?
Yeah.
You know what? They kind of killed it. Like, at the end, they said, oh, he came in for an interview, and then he left. Or he never showed up
for the
interview.
He never showed up for the interview.
It was like, oh, well,
well
that...
but it's still mysterious.
That doesn't kill it.
It's
yeah,
still,
there's still a mystery.
And the friend doesn't seem to care. Phantom Jack doesn't seem to care. He kind of just brushes
weird.
It off.
Yeah, that is really weird.
So, obviously, to me, he realized that the story was coming to an end. He didn't get a chance to do what he wanted to with that. And so he had to just end it somehow.
No, see, that's weird because I would have thought if he was going to wrap it up, that I just didn't feel like that wrapped it up at all. I thought that was just making it a more tantalizing mystery.
The fact that that Jack just brushed off, the fact that his old best friend who shared the same power that he did and committed suicide had suddenly come back.
He didn't commit suicide.
Sure he did.
No, he walked in traffic forgetting that he was invisible.
I don't think he forgot he was invisible. I thought it was in
no,
because
he had these big plans.
Plans were not true. Let's find where it happened.
He was all excited about it.
Or not that he forgot he was invisible. I don't think he realized he had turned invisible.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Yeah, I absolutely
you know it
don't
did
think
it is there
suicide.
Was one comment where he said like. You know, have fun at this.
Yeah, he says right here, just before he does this, he says, you're going to be great in New York. And Jack says, you mean we? He says, right, both of us. See ya, buddy. And then,
he
goes
walks
and walks
out
into traffic.
And walks
and
into
turns
traffic.
Invisible.
Right. See,
I don't think it's a coincidence, especially since just before that.
I absolutely disagree. I don't think he killed himself. I think what it was he was telling Jack that he's basically going to turn to a life of crime.
Yeah, he was not coming. I mean, that was the my interpretation. And he wanted the other guy to think he died, obviously.
No,
I don't know how
he told
did
him
that.
Just before that about walking in traffic and how,
yeah.
You know, you have to be careful about that because people don't know that you're invisible.
And then he
goes and does it.
I still,
it's a little bit too
really,
much influence. It's a little bit foreshadowing.
Completely disagree.
Plus Slutty Chick later on, who can also turn invisible for those of you, we hadn't established that yet, says that people tend to become unstable with this power.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think that indicates that he wanted to kill himself. I think he has a lot of anger. He shows a lot of anger before that.
And he clearly has these morals. Like, already, you
sure.
know, he's using his power to, you know, get what he
yeah,
wants.
Yeah, I think he just meant to be the bad guy, and he did this thinking that
he was making the other guy think that he was dead.
I totally read it as a suicide, especially with that, you're going to be great in New York. And he says, oh, no, you mean we. Oh, yeah, that's right. We are going to be great in New York.
What was his motive for killing himself?
I see absolutely no motive for killing himself.
There's a lot of things that were skipped over in this comic. But
well,
not
motive
well
or not, completely uninformed opinion, looking at this panel for the first time, it certainly looks as if he's half invisible and about to walk into the street, and a car is clearly coming.
But again, I think what it is he doesn't... I mean, their powers are still new. I don't think
invisible
he's,
or not,
not
he's walking
point,
in front of a car.
At this point, I don't think they're still new.
They're new enough. I don't know. I'm with Marty. I don't think he tried to kill himself.
And plus, I mean, the evidence suggests later in the comic, they're bringing him back, like... You know, there's obviously a reason they're bringing him back. I mean...
Well, and that's the thing, is that everyone assumes he's dead,
no one assumes he's dead, because no one knows he's dead except for Jack.
Well,
except that the slutty chick later says they even know what happened to his friend.
Yeah.
Does she ever say she knows that he died?
Oh, that's true.
I can't remember if...
That's a good question.
But she does say that there is only two people with the power in the world, and she's one of them.
No, she said there was more.
No,
she said that they were the only two left.
Yeah.
The only two left.
Yeah.
Which seems to contradict her knowing what happened to the other guy.
But the thing is Jack never went back to remove his body, which, I mean, I was thinking of this when it happened, that... You know, he's like,
you would
well, I'm going to have to
go check him and make sure he was still dead.
Well, I'm
going
to have to leave my friend to rot because he's invisible, but I can't go and remove his body without looking weird. You know, it's like, cars are going to be, if he's
running into it, yeah, exactly.
Running, you know, it's like an invisible speed bump at that point.
Yeah.
Well, and he gets hit by the car. He's not dead. He crawls out of the street.
Yeah, it's certainly could have happened.
I think I found the funniest part of the comic book, which was,
yeah,
the Jack and Slutty Chick are in Iraq, and she's, you know, got a very tight,
slim sweater,
t-shirt on, and some Iraqi gentlemen come up and
gentlemen
try to shame her and him and saying you need to cover up, you slut, and she flashes them her breasts and says, cover these, before she proceeds to kick their ass.
I wouldn't see that.
Well, they don't actually show the breasts. It's a G-rated comic, kind of. Which brings the question, the next topic I wanted to bring up was, what did you guys think of the way they portrayed Iraq and the war? A lot of this happens pre-war. The war started in 2003. This was obviously written prior to 2003. What do you guys think?
That's a good question.
Saddam Hussein shows up in the comic. He watches Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah.
So
it is kind of funny. I mean, they clearly do have a, you know, both sides of the coin. I mean, they clearly show people that are, you know, obviously fucked up and do bad shit, Saddam Hussein being one of them. And there's also, you know, people in the comic that you sympathize with. You know, the guy whose brother was taken by the regime.
What do you think of the portrayal of the culture itself?
Well, okay, reading two pages out of context, it doesn't seem correct. Like, Iraq was actually a very liberal nation. It was not an Islamic state. And it was actually pretty economically good for women before our embargo started. So this whole, the way the interaction is characterized, and then the fact that, like, so she beats them up, and then she says, say it, Saddam sucks, which is not actually pertinent to them claiming that she was a foreign whore at all. I don't know. The whole thing seemed like maybe they were mishmashing, like, several perceived Arab nations.
I kind of agree with what you're saying, and I don't know I'm not as informed as you are about how Iraq was for women prior to the war, but to me it sounded like the writer, who, you know, had never visited Iraq or the Middle East, tried to write about Iraq without really knowing firsthand what the experiences were, and just went based on some news reports and the general populace's opinion of it. So it didn't seem really accurate or valid in any way.
I certainly don't pretend to know either. I are you sure that Iraq was, like, good for women?
Okay, well, I read a book about Islamic feminism that compared several different countries and how they were with women, and Iraq actually came out on top of the countries that were being profiled in what I read.
Well, and I have read that while Saddam Hussein was not a good person by any means, it was not an hardcore Islamic state under him.
It definitely was not, no.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're just comparing that to other Arab countries. You know, obviously it's not going to be the same as, you know, as it is for women in the United States. So,
sure, there are cultural differences, but and it's not to say that women can't be heckled in America for walking down the street and called a whore.
Well, and then, I mean, you watch.
But then would you, like, beat them up and say it, Bush sucks?
Depends on the Bush you're referring to.
And if you think of the movie Persepolis, did you see Persepolis?
Which is in Iran. Yeah, which before the revolution was quite liberal for women. So, I mean, the same with Afghanistan. In the 60s, women of Afghanistan walked around in miniskirts.
It's all been kind of the,
in 20 years,
hard right wing,
it'll be the U.S.
Well, and honestly, though, Handmaid's Tale is still very terrifying, but I mean, a lot of the discussion around how they have been, how this sort of extreme view has taken hold, is a lot of it's a reaction to imposition of Western culture. Not to say that justifies you know, extreme dictatorships or treatment of people, but like the fact that it's been fairly recent that these extremes are popping up has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, Russia and US and all of these powers have wanted to play a huge role in that region and have tried to use them as pawns, and
well,
there's been a lot of reaction against
that. The thing is that so much of it wanting to use them is, I mean, the really evident part is the opening of markets there and just the selling of consumer goods, which, you know, they wouldn't be selling consumer goods there if the consumer goods didn't sell.
No, I think that's more of an excuse.
I thought that was pretty minor,
exactly,
in comparison with like the arms dealing and,
well,
like,
true,
the, you know, giving them,
is the arms
giving
dealing
one faction huge amounts of, you know, backing of U.S. military backing.
True,
I
but
mean,
what
wasn't
is
it
that going to lead to
a
backlash
a fundamentalist
against? Is that going to lead to a backlash against American cultural imperialism?
Hell yes,
it's an idea of it's identity in opposition to another.
Well,
you
let's imagine
how are we distinct and independent? It's by not being anything like those other people.
Well, and no, let's think about it this way. I mean, we essentially backed fundamentalists.
Hussein.
Yeah, but also
originally, yeah, but in other situations, we have backed the extremists because
we thought
it was convenient to us.
I mean, if you were a more or less liberal entity in one of these countries and seeing the U.S. back these, you know, non-liberal entities, what would your reaction? I mean, that seems...
So I think we're clearly all only very marginally informed, but
yeah,
we're pointing out that this author also is.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit away from the comic, and
yeah,
pretty soon iTunes is going to reclassify us as a political podcast. Which is fine. Oh, Saddam Hussein gets shot in the nuts, by the way, just so you know.
Hey, this comic, did he get shot in the nuts in real life?
Not that I know of.
I mean, maybe there was something about, you know, some story about him getting shot in the nuts and no one knew why, and so the author, like,
made up
a story around it.
I think the point where I finally said, okay, this is entirely dumb, was when they're trying to rescue Jack's brother from the Iraqi prison, and their way of escaping is to duct tape his brother to him and then duct tape the woman to them so that they're all three duct taped together. What
yeah
do you think of that?
Like a brother sandwich. Ooh.
What did you think of that? And it lasted for like...
Well, except she wasn't in the middle.
No, she was in the front.
No,
so
the,
her boobs weren't
the
touching anyone.
The half-naked guy was in the middle.
Yeah.
But
well, right. So this was obviously his brother's
very close brothers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was kind of a ridiculous scenario that didn't really last that long either. So
the idea was that they could turn him invisible if they, you know, squeezed him,
you know,
between them.
They couldn't have carried him or something.
Well, yeah, but
they had to use duct tape.
One
and
of his arms
each of
would
have,
like, fallen out,
way,
you know, like
then you'd have this disembodied arm
floating
around.
Exactly.
I did kind of like the idea that
three. Could you imagine? Okay, can you imagine James
just
Bond
even
doing
just
this?
Walking together?
Could you
like
imagine
that?
James Bond doing this? And this is how they're making her out to be. It's like a James Bond type character that can turn invisible. Can you imagine James Bond? Well, actually, yeah, I can duct taping himself to three women, but not as a method to escape.
It was pretty ridiculous.
I did kind of like when Jack got captured and he panicked the guards by saying that they had brought in a flesh-eating virus, and then he started
just
making his skin invisible so you could see his
right
there underneath it.
That reminded me of the 4 Minutes video for some reason. By Madonna and Justin Timberlake.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, they do that in the video. They turn parts of their body invisible and you can see like their
guts.
Really?
Their guts, yes.
That's it's like they just saw this book and wanted to read it.
Uh-huh.
That's hilarious. But so, I really want to, I was going to mention then, there was this other part of the comic where, you know, he's having sex with this girl and they, you know, lose.
That's funny.
They lose control when they're coming, basically, because, you know, their minds are not on sustaining the invisibility or non-invisibility. And so then, you know,
she says that, the girl says that her natural state now is to be invisible, and she has to concentrate to remain visible.
Well, they, what happened was Jack's, they established that his ex-girlfriend
saw him do this,
saw
basically.
Him turn invisible,
and
yeah. There was a mirror on the ceiling, and she saw herself staring back at her or something like
but
that.
But actually, parts of her were invisible, so she could see her own guts.
That's right.
Which was like, and then she freaks out, and then he, like, is too embarrassed to even admit that anything happened, and that was the last time he talked to her.
Yeah. And then it kind of happens to him when, after having sex with slutty James Bond, the next morning he wakes up and she's partially invisible and can see her bones and stuff, and he freaks out.
Which is hilarious, because wouldn't he have had that same experience, like, to himself, like, millions of times? But at this point,
maybe he keeps his eyes closed.
You know what? I bet you when
wouldn't you be able to see through your eyelids?
I bet you that. Well, that's a good thing. That's that. You know that brings up the whole argument against invisibility is that it's impossible to see while you're invisible.
Yeah,
I think they actually touched on that somehow
in the Marvel comics with the Invisible Woman.
Yeah,
they've tried to explain all that. But, yeah, technically, light has to bounce off your retinas. If you're invisible, light passes through it, so...
Well, okay, but that's only one method of invisibility.
She's actually...
Another method of invisibility is that light, you know, hits you just fine, but you pass it through on the other side, you know? So you take in this light that's coming here, and then you pass it through on the other side exactly as if it, you know...
So it's just sort of like an image on both
right.
sides.
So you're a mirror all the way around, or you know,
another,
but not quite
another
a
method
mirror.
Of invisibility is just manipulating people's perceptions.
Right.
But
in
clearly
this one,
this is clearly
not either of those types of invisibility. When you can go partially invisible.
Yeah, if you can see guts.
Right, that's true. Yeah, both would kind of be ruled out.
Another thing that I kind of want to bring up is that they do a lot of. The author, you know, they included the letter pages on here, even though there's not really any letters. They just include parts of scripts that didn't make it in there or comments by the author. And they spend a good amount of time talking about a character that he wanted to put in that was cut, even as much as having a little...
that was the girlfriend, wasn't it?
No, I'm talking about the perfect guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did read
some of that, and I was like, "Really? Why was this character interesting to anyone?"
Right. And why do they devote
so
much time to
the guy that's at
the
end?
Yeah.
Okay. I did read that little short comic at the end.
It's the it's Peter St.
John,
and he's introduced. Well, he's introduced in letter page. He wanted to be the author wanted him to be in the comic book, but to cut him out due to space constraints and probably because he was. Not an
lame.
Interesting character.
Well, I will say that just as a side note, you know, if the author is listening to this, that there is a lot of content in this book, you know, and it's interesting because, like, while I read through, you know, all the comic parts, like, I didn't read all the word stuff, and I feel like...
There's a lot of prose towards the end.
Yeah, you know, like, there might be more in there for me if I wanted to go back and read it.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a plus.
A lot of
that's, I'm just saying that's a plus.
Some of it's pretty interesting. I'm trying to find the point where they first introduced this Peter St. John guy, but basically they describe him as the guy who is perfect, perfectly built, tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, really well built, an athlete, gets all the chicks without even trying, perfect student, had great grades, incredibly intelligent, super high IQ, gets all the best jobs, everything goes right for him, nothing goes wrong, and the way he relates to Phantom Jack is that Jack is instantly jealous of him, wants to hate him, but just can't.
Because, of course, he's really nice, too.
Yeah, and he's perfectly nice, and that's that character. And so, it's like...
Well,
how disgusting would that be to read?
He kind of reminded me a little bit of the Christian Bale character in American Psycho.
I can kind of see that, especially with the little side comic they gave him, where he just murdered somebody because the cops couldn't. He was what was the deal with him?
He was the ultimate hacker.
Ultimate computer hacker, which I wanted to see your take on this, Marty, because
whatever.
It seemed pretty ridiculous to me.
Yeah,
it's like, he could find him, and not even him. He just knew a guy who could find him where the FBI couldn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he goes and shoots him in the head because no one else could catch him.
Right.
He couldn't, inform the FBI that he had
no.
this
yeah.
Well, because he's a reporter and he has to keep his sources secret. So the obvious solution is, let's go murder the guy.
Let's kill him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the part that kind of went, okay, so he's an American psycho.
So why devote this time to this guy that was cut and give him a backup story?
Well, probably because they had space to fill in the trade.
So there were also numerous editing issues with the trade. Like there was
one
randomly blank page in the middle of it.
Right.
At the end. And
randomly blank page. I don't remember that at all.
And then
occasionally they have to
I think there were two pages that were the same too.
Yes,
what?
There were two pages that were the same.
Yeah.
Where? Show me.
Yeah, you didn't even
see. Oh my god. This
was your
pick.
Over.
It doesn't mean I take responsibility for one thing.
Well, okay, so having only read the introduction and basically nothing else.
You
I
have to read it. If we had to read it, so do you.
I agree. You should read it.
Okay. We'll see. there's no more accountability to the public now, but... Like,
in our
I
next
read,
podcast, you have to give a
we'll,
little, you know, like,
report.
Your review.
We'll,
yes.
we'll have the Phantom Jack countdown. Florence's... How many days?
Well, and I know several people who want to take part in this, so tonight we're going to announce the next one and what it is, and then I'll send an email eventually.
Yes. We'll give people more.
We are
going to
announce
it.
Like,
yes.
We
know
what
it is.
We have to all announce our next picks right now.
Okay,
well,
we already know
I got
what
mine. I got my next one.
I have
a
suggestion.
Well.
Oh, we could!
I went two in a row.
Well, you don't get two in a row, but we can announce
all
four and then the fifth one. We can announce yours. We could. You know, that's not a terrible idea.
Well,
yeah.
Susie should get a turn too, but yeah.
Yeah, we didn't even ask her about this one.
She would have told me. She read it, I believe.
Send this off to Susie so that she can read it too. She might like it. You never know.
Sure.
Because
Mike just doesn't want it back. She's like...
Okay, so today is November
30th. How did I not notice this?
I was just
reading this and saw it as like a two-page spread.
Yeah, I at first it took me down to the bottom. I think because I thought it was the writer and artist was trying
something artsy.
I think I just saw it as kind of like a Benny Hill thing where they're all just kind of running back and forth missing each other. Because you see this Get Them, and then you see
a bunch more
Quick
running.
In Here, and then there's some more doors, and then another Get Them.
And then
so
Quick in Here.
I'm picturing the Benny Hill music in the background. Which would make this much more entertaining.
That was in Simpsons Halloween one a while back. Okay.
Well, and I did say that this part, I did agree that this part was the least coherent part of the book as well, and
this is close to the duct tape part, right?
Yeah, it's where they walk in on what's his name,
Saddam
watching Girls Gone Wild, doggy style,
posted by Snoop Dogg,
which is then broken
Snoopy the dog
clearly
the dog.
Over into another issue, which is totally okay.
Well,
is that supposed to be a cliffhanger?
Yeah, the cliffhanger is that,
they walk in on Saddam.
Saddam, yes.
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't know.
So, should we just go ahead and...
Are we done? How long have we gone? Have we broken this up?
39 minutes. I think that's plenty.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, in review, everyone go read Phantom Jack.
I liked the black and white backup. The Tales from the Starlight Drive-In, which apparently never came out.
Well, apparently that came out in 2008, or was slated to, and maybe didn't, and was updated in the kind of
like that a little bit. But
I liked this image, although I fully admit it has nothing to do with the story, and also is sort of a little bit sexist. It's the slutty woman just standing with her, like, ass facing the, you know, camera.
You know,
and there's a dog with his nose in her butt. Like what the fuck?
Yeah.
Marty, you're the reason why Wizard World Chicago has endless rows of artists drawing nothing but
girls' asses.
Girls' asses,
that?
Yes.
I am the reason for that. I'm also
who is that?
Like those artists.
Sorry.
In that basically when I was a kid and drawing, you know, comic book like art, it was mostly nude girls. Here's the blank page. No reason
for
it.
Oh, it was in the pinup section.
It is,
so.
Yeah, it's in the end, so you're
well,
like,
well,
are the
probably
backs
not
of the other ones
section.
Are the backs of the other ones blank too?
What this is supposed to be an illustrated story.
Yeah. Although, I don't think that girl appears in the story.
I don't know. I didn't read any of the
I read a lot of the text, but again, I was a little bit confused about when the stories ended. Here, and so the bottom of this text page ends mid-sentence. Like, completely, you know, like...
Maybe it turned invisible.
It says, you tell your boss in there that Mr.
Quick,
Bling
get the lemon juice.
Wants the big-ass shrimp at his party, not cheese and chicken wings like they did. That's it. Like, no period. Like,
well,
they did at what? Like, they did... Oh, and then on the next page, for Jack Hagen when he retired. So it does continue on the next page. It just ends in the middle of the page, not
yeah,
like at the end of a line.
With plenty of space at the bottom.
Yeah.
Margin.
It's like they didn't have a layout program.
Okay, so pretty half-assed storytelling, bad editing, and...
I didn't care for the art.
And questionable art. I like the art.
I actually like the art, too.
This right here, this double page spread is what I'm talking about, where everyone looks awkward.
I see.
And they're all kind of standing around.
I do like the first issue's art as opposed
there
to the rest
was
of
definitely
it.
A difference,
yeah.
Particularly in the inking.
Like the very first issue with his weird friend that maybe kills himself, maybe doesn't.
Didn't.
Maybe is the evil. Maybe he's the bad guy.
If the writer is listening and hasn't totally, you know, discounted everything we've said, which I could totally understand if he did, they want to tell us if he meant to kill himself.
Maybe feels the same way. Maybe he's like, God, that's
it. Could be, you know, it. You know, editing has definitely ruined a lot of good stories, and
I liked especially the Vampire Slayer of the movie.
Especially when you go from publisher to publisher, a lot of stuff that you intend to have as the real story gets cut out and chopped up and taped back together in other languages and then retranslated back, and sometimes it doesn't work out the way the writer intends. So
this is totally off topic, but have you seen that there's a Garfield comic that's like Garfield translated or something, and it's like Garfield translated into another language and then back via, you know, one of those automatic translators?
Is it better or worse than
not
Garfield
as good
minus
as
Garfield
minus Garfield? Garfield minus Garfield is, in my opinion, the best Garfield
was that
parody.
It's not even
there.
A parody. It's
totally
it's
its own
comic
thing.
Just
yeah.
Taking
yeah.
Garfield out. And
taking
it's just
Garfield
John
out.
Being depressed, right?
Yeah. It
well, not being
so
depressed.
Good.
John being
fucking weird.
Yes.
I mean, and not only that, but it does seem like he's depressed. I mean, it seems like
it
he
does.
Is. Clinical so, is what he is.
Yes.
Clearly anything you can do to Garfield is only going to make it more interesting because...
it is. I mean, it is one of the boringest, dumbest cartoons ever.
Yeah.
And Garfield minus Garfield, brilliant. I mean, seriously. And
it's
this other, true. The Garfield, the translated one, is also pretty interesting, although a lot more random.
I always think of the news radio episode where Jimmy James is doing the talk in the excerpt of his book. His autobiography in Japan. I can't think of any of the quotes, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Find it on YouTube.
News radio is good.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's announce the next one.
All right.
Do we know what day? Did you look at
I
days?
Suggest Wednesday, October 22nd.
I thought we were going to stick with Tuesdays.
Tuesdays? All right.
That works because I won't have left for Chicago.
Yep, 21st. Because I want to avoid the week of Halloween.
I think I'm leaving the 20th. The Thursday after that.
Then more than likely
to go to the Windy City Comic Con.
So did you
Which
say...
Which I could probably go if you weren't leaving on Thursday. I don't know if I can get Friday off.
So October 21st.
Yep.
So
Tuesday, October 21st at 7 p.m. at our house unless a single person can comment and say they want it to be in a neutral location, in which case we can arrange that very easily.
A neutral location like Geneva.
I know some place we can stay. Switzerland it is.
Okay, it is in my calendar.
All right, I'm adding it to my calendar as well.
And my new niece.
So, our next...
And you don't have to talk. You can just come and be part of the festivities.
Conrad. It's better if you talk.
Okay, so my next choice, or my first choice for the next book, comic book club, is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Woo!
Season 8, written or conceived by Joss, depending on which issue you're looking at. So what is painful to me is not requiring everyone to read every single one. I will limit it to the last two small arcs, but I will give extra credit.
Are the ones that I don't have.
Yeah, extra credit to anyone who reads all of them because they really, it all builds on itself.
What issue are we up to?
We have just gotten 18, and 19 is the next one, which will finish this most recent arc.
Okay, so how many, when does these two arcs begin?
Right. So the last arc began with issue 12. So everyone look for issues 12 through 19. The last arc is called Wolves at the Gate, and there's three parts, and the most recent one is called Time of Your Life, and there's going to be four parts.
Okay.
Three are already out.
I'll be coming in with the Have Never Watched an Episode of Buffy Perspective, so...
You haven't?
I've only
not
watched
even
a
single
few.
One.
This has been established many times.
Damn.
Hopefully this will get you interested
well,
enough
I do
that we
want
can
to,
then have you watch all the
movies. Having read Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men, and having ignored his Runaways run, and having watched Firefly and Serenity and Dr. Horrible, I do want to watch Buffy, so...
Good call.
And I've now, do you think he should start with the movie?
I will take whatever I can get in terms of people onboarding.
I enjoyed the movie. When I watched it, I enjoyed it. I mean, I thought there was a lot of really fun stuff in the movie. It's a different animal than the show.
And there is actually a comic that is his original version of what he thought envisioned
for
the movie.
Does Joss Whedon have anything to do with the movie?
He wrote the first draft, and then it was taken over by others.
Yeah. But I mean, like, Paul Rubens in the
it's
movie
brilliant,
is
yeah.
awesome.
Okay, so are we going to recommend the next chapter?
Do we want
to
go around and say what?
Does everyone have a pick?
Yeah.
I think we should, but then it can be open to...
We could change it.
Change.
Subject to change,
and
after
input.
Florence.
Again, anyone who wants to give input and comments and requests, that will influence us.
Yeah.
Okay.
If there's something
so
who would be
next after that?
That would be you.
Me.
No, wait. Jason.
I started.
So
yeah,
for the
so
record, Conrad did specifically request Walking Dead. And I just couldn't quite replace my Buffy choice at the last minute.
That's fine.
But I
well, that can be your next
later.
Round.
Yeah.
I do want to read Walking Dead. I'm hearing great things about it. And...
Well, you've already read it. You don't have to do it
exactly,
again.
Exactly, Jason.
Well, I read up to trade 5.
Maybe,
well, we
maybe
can
Jason
do one.
Can choose.
Yeah,
trade
I was
going
to say
it.
Like,
Jason,
it does
you should
not
choose
have to
Walking
be trade 5.
Actually, what I want to pick is something I have already read, but I want you guys to read it. And I want everyone to read it, and it's really good. And I wish that, I can't wait for the new one to come out, and I don't know when it's going to come out. But Scott Pilgrim is what my next choice would be.
So what of his...
Well, don't give it away.
Well, I would have everyone start with the first trade. There are four trades. They're mini... they're kind of manga-esque, but not really. I mean, they kind of... have the appearance of manga. And it's by a Canadian author, artist, writer.
Canadian manga.
And it's so good. It's so good.
They were recommended by someone else that I can't remember.
4 out of 5 doctors.
Oh, no, it was the guy who did Diesel Sweeties in that hour-long
okay.
thing.
Hour-long thing?
The hour-long talk he did at Google.
Oh, yeah.
Which I posted on the site.
Yeah.
So what's your choice, Marty?
My choice will be PS 238.
Nice.
The
That's,
first
I
trade, but we have the first four. If, like me, you then cannot stop. Because, and I may have the fifth one by the time we actually do this.
There are four trades of Scott Pilgrim out, too.
Okay.
But I would only say the first one.
Do you have them?
No, I got them all from the library,
from
but
the library
has them all.
Okay.
I'm beginning to see a pattern going on. You are all choosing stuff that you've already read.
Well, and I think, honestly, I think that's the best. I think we should really be choosing things that we really love and want to share with our friends. So that when other people don't like that, like it, we can call them idiots.
That's right.
Exactly.
And tell them how wrong they are.
I'm going in a different approach. I'm going again with something that I have not yet read. In fact, it hasn't even been totally published yet. And it may change depending on where they are in the schedule as when my time goes.
Who's writing it?
Is
it Joss?
No, it's not Joss. No. My choice is the Marvel adaptation of Stephen King's The Stand.
Oh.
Which the first issue just came out. It's being written. Oh, I'm totally forgetting who's writing it. It's one of the popular guys, too.
Peter David?
No. Peter David is doing the Dark Tower series. This one is by somebody of.
I will look it up.
Okay. And I think there's 5 or 6 issues in it. So, you know, if it takes 6 months to get back to my turn again, that's what we'll be reviewing. If not, I'll choose something else.
Well, and there's nothing to keep someone else from slotting one in there as well.
Right.
And again,
or we could just
said,
review what's been published up to now, like
to
we did with Northlanders.
Right. Which is not necessarily a bad idea. Have you read the first one, Ben?
I have it. I just picked it up on Wednesday. I haven't read it yet.
Okay. So, I mean,
it's actually, you know, and I don't know how much of an adaptation it is, or if there's original content in it, because its official title is The Stand, Captain Trips, which was the, in the novel, was the name for the disease.
See, I've never actually read The Stand or seen any...
I've seen the miniseries.
Movie. Yeah.
Have you read the book, Marty?
You know, I can't remember if it's one that I've read. I've read, like, 2 or 3 of his.
Okay.
None of them have impressed me.
Okay.
Well,
it's considered one of
Nate's
his...
Nate's a huge fan. And, yeah, and
well,
every time I read it,
one.
I'm
yeah.
like... You know,
it's considered
he writes good page-turners, but I am not especially...
It's very angry. Much considered his best book.
Really?
So
even more than the Dark Tower mm-hmm. and stuff? Well, Stand By Me.
Dark Tower
is
kind of like a good...
I thought Dark Tower was supposed to be his sort of epic, bringing together a lot of his world's
right,
books,
right.
which is why it's very popular with really big fans.
His magnum opus.
But it's not
okay.
a good standalone. And I've heard, and I agree with Mike that The Stand is considered
many critics
his best,
consider.
His best
I mean,
work.
I like both of them. I would consider parts of The Dark Tower to be some of his best work. The Stand in itself as a whole, except for the ending. But Stephen King has problems with his endings a lot of times.
So it says here that The Stand will be scripted by Robert Aguirre-Sacasa.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Who has I'm more interested in reading it now.
Angel Revelations, Secret Invasion, Fantastic Four, and Dead of Night featuring Man-Thing.
He's a
and?
Former playwright.
Also
and?
Episodes of HBO's Big Love.
Okay.
And he's a big homo.
Yay.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not excited about the artist.
Illustrated by Mike Perkins.
House
of M, Avengers, Captain America, Union Jack.
You know, I actually just finished reading House of M, Avengers. I have it in my backpack. And I don't really care for Mike Perkins' art. He's a lot like, who's the guy who did the Greg Land?
Yeah.
Yeah, where it kind of looks like he's been...
Drawing over photographs. You're comparing him to that?
Mike Perkins?
Oh, I don't see the comparison at all. Mike Perkins doesn't, at least in The Stand, looks much more...
Oh, I'm thinking of House of M Avengers.
Okay. It's a different style in House of M, or in
but,
Dark Tower, or The Stand, I mean.
I just read House of M Avengers in the library, and personally, I think it's the best House of M story.
I've only read the X-Men one, I think. I've read a little, maybe a little bit more of the main.
House of M was kind of stinky.
I kind of liked it, the parts I read. But I didn't get sucked into the whole big thing.
On a side note, I had a total geek moment at Target yesterday.
You bought Torchwood.
No, I didn't buy Torchwood. I bought the action figure of the Marvel Legends Spiral figure.
Oh my god.
Which is sculpted extremely well. Look it up.
What?
She's got 6 arms!
What, And body sword. Piece does it have?
The head of Red Skull. I'm Red Skull. Red Hulk.
Head of Red Hulk. Interesting. So this is a whole new series then.
Oh, yeah. It's a Target exclusive series.
Wait, what is it?
Spiral.
Spiral?
Look up Marvel Legends Spiral. Everyone at home, look it up too. It's very good.
In real time.
Right now. As you're quickly now.
You know.
Oh, I found it first.
Huh. Well, you know, actually, I was at Target and there
the thing
was
that
some.
Impressed me of it, number one, it's a cool figure, cool character. Women's sculpts for action figures are very, you know, hit or miss. Usually they suck. Ones with six arms in itself would be particularly difficult. This sculpt was very, very well made.
They have some DC ones out right now that I actually quite liked.
I've seen them.
And I forget what character they have that you can build in them. But I was actually contemplating...
Is it Darkseid or something?
No, it's not Darkseid. There was big characters like Mojo or the Red Hulk or...
Darkseid's not big?
Not really. He's not really any bigger than...
Is it...
Ooh, I don't know. Say it.
The big Sinestro guy?
The big
they
Sinestro?
Have, well, they had a Heroclix
Kilowog.
Giant. They No, they had a giant Sinestro
No,
guy.
But they have Power Pack Heroclix.
Do they? That's
they
awesome.
Do.
Are they the kid or the adult versions?
They're the kid versions.
Okay.
They have... You know, Power Pack has apparently an impact on comic writers today, comic creators today, because the characters as adults show up in the strangest places. Like, for example, this House of M Avengers, Luke Cage's Avengers, they have a alliance with, they call it the Wolf Pack, a group of superhero teens from the Bronx, they're basically the New Warriors, and a couple of the ones who are in it are the members of Power Pack. As late teenagers, you know, like 17, 18 teenagers.
Did you find that yet, Marty?
And then, you know,
is
Julie.
The one?
Yes.
Lightspeed was in Loners.
Here's a close-up of her boob. Yeah. You find it.
God, you know...
What do you think?
Close-up of the boobs.
I'm trying to think of the last action figures that I was actually collecting. I was getting some of the Doctor Who action figures. But I think before that, the last ones I was actually collecting were... They had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that were dressed
cool.
as Universal Monsters.
What's up with her feet? It looks like she's got, like, a mane.
Well, she has hairy boots.
I don't know. Yeah, like, Booba has boots that have long hair on them. Like, seriously, like...
It's,
you know,
like mole hair or something.
It's like 2 foot hair.
It's
coming off of your boots.
Never seen
Michael
people
Kors
here in the winter.
Shit over that.
There are lots
like,
of people who have
the
like
boots are fabulous.
Furry boots here in Minneapolis in the winter.
I don't know, but they're usually like short fur all over the boot, not all coming from the top.
She's also from another dimension, so that could have something to do.
Oh, her fashion sense is totally trans-dimensional.
What do you think, Jason? Since you know,
no,
who the
go open a new tab. Don't close this one.
All right,
I want to link this for all of our fans.
Okay,
I want to find the DC.
And I've already got the Longshot figure, so if anybody wants to get me the build a figure of Mojo, that'd be cool. Then I could have. Because they're all linked together. Mojo is the villain.
Wait, this Build-A-Figure? I don't know.
Build-A-Figure. You had to buy a bunch of figures to put to get the parts to make the big Mojo figure. You should look up Mojo, too. He's freaky looking.
I have no idea what you're even talking about. You didn't have to do that for this one, right? Or did you?
No, that was just the figure itself. She came with she came in the Build-A-Figure set for Red Hulk. That's why Jason asked who I got.
Oh,
body parts,
I see.
And I said his head.
Oh, I
see.
So do you not know which part you're getting?
Oh, yeah, you know.
Oh.
But, you know, they release them one line at a time.
Oh, I see.
So
it's like assembling Voltron.
Kind of. No, they do.
Oh, my God, they
really
have a Nort action figure.
Cool.
I'm looking at DC action figures now, and they have a Nort Green Lantern from the Justice League International.
Oh, he's going to be a
on
seller.
Sale December 10th. They have an I wonder if they have an Ambush Bug. That would be awesome.
Ambush Bug?
Ambush Bug.
Somebody sent a link out that to you can get Obama action figures.
Oh my God. They have a Justice League International Black Canary action figure. Oh, is it? Oh my God, it is. It's the Black Canary. It's, I want to get that.
This is the first time ever Jason's having a stiffy over a woman.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
She doesn't even have fishnets on.
She doesn't have fishnets. This is, people say that this is her worst costume.
Let's see. Can you enlarge it?
Well, it's certainly nothing like any of the costumes I've seen in her.
Oh, they say it's her worst costume because she's totally covered up.
Well, she's wearing a turtleneck with a, like,
that's more like a ascot, isn't it?
Thing on top.
It's a and she's got a headband. Has a headband, and it was very 80s. It's a very 80s design.
It's white 80s boots.
Another Michael Kors term is 80s power bitch.
Yes. Yes.
So that does that kind of thing over her chest, does that actually rest on her nipples? Or
you wish. You just want. You're so dirty.
Go find Marty the Mojo Build-A-Figure.
Yes, find me the Mojo Build-A-Figure.
Is it possible this isn't making good audio entertainment?
Oh, we've descended into a level of geekdom that I think, you know, this podcast has never seen before.
Well, you know what? This is what podcasts are meant to be.
Just devolving into people crowding around a different computer screen and going... And
oh, look at that. Oh,
you know what?
Oh.
There are some podcasts where they play videos on the computer, and all you can hear is... there are tons of podcasts that would play reactions of people watching Two Girls, One Cup.
Mm.
And
so,
not even video ones, just...
Well, that could be interesting.
What's the comic book equivalent of that? We should like record...
The comic book equivalent of Two Girls, One Cup?
We could record people's reactions
to reading
Secret Invasion. To reading Secret Invasion. Like, oh, God, oh, oh. Oh, God, how could they do that? Oh!
Oh, and they're all Skrulls.
They're Skrulls again? What?
Captain Cold. You know what Captain Cold looks like.
Yeah, but this is one of the ones that
looks like Captain
is supposed
Cold.
To come with the...
Looks like Johnny Snow.
Oh, wait, doesn't he look like Iceman?
No, it doesn't have what the extra piece is. Oh, well, doesn't matter. I saw it at Target, and I was like...
Florence has totally given up on books and now just reads on her iPod.
Yeah, she's like, she's like, I'm done with this podcast. You guys are lame.
Lame. We're all lame.
So
okay,
today,
let's sign off.
Here's an interesting, here's like another little interesting tidbit. You can Google for this as well. It's a voiceover to the first Harry Potter. This is not at all related to anything we've talked about. But, somebody sent it out today at work, and I totally downloaded it. You can find it on illegalart.org. If because
wow.
And so like,
how has that site not been busted yet?
Well, it's basically backed by like people who want this stuff to remain up, even though it is considered to violate copyright. But it's never been like proven in. You know, in an actual court of law. Like, essentially, it should be legal, but because, you know, big companies have lent, you know, pressure to bring the stuff down, illegalart.org basically says, you know, we'll put it up. You know,
okay,
we'll take on that hosting.
Anyway.
So, I mean, essentially, this was, it's just a, essentially like an MST3K voiceover, you know, making fun of the first Harry Potter, but apparently it's done by, somebody who is really good for something. I don't know what. He's supposedly really good. And it's very...
This isn't Wizard
yeah.
People, Dear Reader.
Yeah.
I have this.
Do you have it?
Oh, yeah. I have the whole... I have it on a CD.
Uh-huh.
Or I actually have someone... I have a DVD of the movie with this
as... voiceover?
Yeah.
Is it good? Have you watched it?
It's entertaining, but it's very odd.
The guy was saying...
Wizard people, dear reader. Wizard people, dear reader.
You know what I just
I
noticed?
It kind of sounds that...
I haven't seen any of it or listened to any of it. And the guy at work said, you know, you can watch the first 10 or 15 minutes. If you're not laughing hysterically, it's probably not for you.
Yeah.
He said it's, you know, but he finds it hysterical and laughed the whole way through and thought it was really good.
Yeah. I thought it was entertaining, but it does get a little old after a while. And the guy bills himself as someone who... which I think is totally false, but he didn't read the book
and I don't remember now, but there's a Wikipedia page for it.
Oh yeah, I mean it was a big deal, like at the time or something, and they they apparently wanted the guy to do it live, and you know Warner Brothers or whoever it is that owns the movie, you know, shut it down.
Yep.
Wouldn't let it happen.
Yep. Yep.
Anyway,
speaking of shutting down,
yes,
we will do that too.
That concludes the Phantom Jack.
Oh yeah, what were we here for again? And it's almost like it became invisible after a while.
My apologies if we offended the writer.
Yeah,
but that's what you get for offending us.
Okay, well, we will podcast next week, but next month everybody can come back to hear our comic book club review of Buffy.
In which we will tear it apart in an attempt to make Florence cry. I'm just kidding.
I'm sure Susie will also be part of it, and it's unlikely we'll be able to overtake the both of them.
Uh-oh.
Does She-Hulk come to mind?
Okay. All right.
Bye!
Bye.